Good morning, New Day. Good morning, everyone in the room, everyone who's joining us on the live stream this morning. As we are part of the global church this morning, we are going to start our day with communion. So I encourage you, if you're at home, to grab something to eat, something to drink, as we remember the message that Christ had for us as he shared this meal with his disciples. Jesus first took bread, and he broke it into pieces, and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. And do this in remembrance of me." I invite everyone to join us. And then in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper. So this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. As we join together in worship here and keep this memory of this bread and this covenant with Jesus in our hearts, we want to remember especially Pastor Aaron and Jacqueline traveling in Kenya. They arrived safely in Marsabit. And we've said before that people plan and God laughs. So all of the plans that were laid out for this week, yeah, we'll just throw those out the window. We're starting over tomorrow morning, new plans. So I want to pray especially for them to guide that trip as they go out to visit people that are suffering from a really severe drought. And let's take a moment to pray now. God, as we represent the church here and we gather to hear a word from you and to worship you together, we remember that we have Christians joining us all over the world, that the Holy Spirit is moving in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. Ask that you keep Aaron and Jacqueline and the whole team safe and guide their actions and their words as they visit with your people today and throughout the rest of the week. And be with all of the people at New Day, that you would open their hearts to listen and hear your word. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, since Pastor Aaron is traveling, we have a guest today. Ross Nelson is a retired pastor who serves with Aaron on the Wisconsin Disciple Making Huddle. And he's going to share a message with us today.
All right. First thing Aaron told me is you got to stay behind this table. And I happen to be one of those walkie-talkies. I'm all over the place. And he says, "No, you're chained to this baby." So I will do the best that I can. The rest of the team is Marcus Constantine and Liz Comey. As they're part of the team in Africa too as well. I was supposed to go with the team, but I had a heart attack the middle of October and had a couple of stents thrown in my heart. So I'm jealous of those guys in Africa right now. I brought with me a couple of guests who will be sharing with me as part of the message here for today, Jennifer and Holly, and I'll call those gals up when I come to the parts where I need them to speak. Okay. All right. All right, the scripture for today is... is Matthew 9:35 through 38. It's up on the screen there from the New Living Translation. And it says this, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray the Lord of the harvest, who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send out more laborers into his field." Today we're going to be looking at a number of the habits of a healthy disciple maker. And what you have there in front of you should be colored circles. You have a heart, prayer, engage, find, and so forth on there. Those should be on your table. I am going to briefly go through four of those this morning, and then next week I will finish up with the final three. So that's where we're headed. All right. First of all, we want to see in the center of the habits is the very heart of God. And Jesus is the one who modeled the heart for lost people. And we see that in our text for today, where he showed his initial followers what he expected of them to become. And he went around preaching and healing and delivering people. And so like Aaron has been sharing with you guys, it's like this is what it means to be leading from the front. Jesus always led from the front, and he always modeled things for us so that we can know what he expected of us. Now, in that text, it says that Jesus saw the crowds. And so, in other words, he saw things through his lenses, and that's muy importante. That's very important to see people through Jesus' lenses because we see from this text that the condition of lost people impacted Jesus deeply, all right? It says in our text here today that he was moved with compassion towards people. A word for compassion there is a medical term. It means a person's intestines. And any of you who are parents or grandparents out there today, you know what I'm talking about. When something's happening to one of your kids or your grandkids, where does it grip you? Does it grip you just in your mind and just say, oh, yeah, you know, whatever, figure it out? No, it grips our gut, doesn't it? You know? And so in this text here, it's a very moving thing that Jesus, when he saw people, it gripped his gut. And the true condition of these people were revealed to Jesus. In the translation that we have here today, it says that they were confused and they were helpless. The translation I use, NIV, says that they were, I forgot the word, I'll look in my text here, harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Okay, so we can just kind of gloss over those words, but really they're very, very graphic because the very first term that's mentioned, what Jesus saw of the people, the word harassed there, literally means in the original to be flayed alive. To be flayed alive. Okay, that's quite graphic, is it not? All right, it's a very physical thing. And the word helpless literally means, in terms of a shepherd, it's a sheep that is on its back. And if you know anything about sheep that end up on their back, they literally have to have the shepherd come and put them back on their feet because they are helpless to get back up on their feet by themselves. And so we see Jesus' eyes on people. He sees that they're tormented by the fallenness of this world, by the ravagedness of sin, as well as the torment of the powers of darkness that keeps them in fear of death, as well as they're helpless. They can't help themselves unless someone intervenes in their life. And of course, that's why Jesus came, to intervene in people's lives and put them back up on their feet, if you will. All right. And so following the text here a little bit further here, Jesus also bids his followers to see things as they really are. And he says, look at the harvest. Just look at the harvest. And I think what the Holy Spirit is saying today, especially for our African team, is that they're going to have their eyes open to the harvest like never before, you know. And they're going to see how great it is. And lift up your eyes to see the sea of lost humanity. And then Jesus says this, another reality, that the workers are so few. Look around you. and see the lack of laborers, but then Jesus gives a solution to the problem. I love that about Jesus, don't you? He just doesn't throw something in our face and say, go ahead and see whether you're going to pass or fail in this. But he gives us a solution in terms of what to do, practical steps of how to follow through. And so he says this, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in the harvest field, and then truly the harvest will come in. All right. And so in essence, in this text here for the center here, is that God is inviting us to embrace Jesus' heart for people. And if there's any exhortation that I can give us today, including myself, is God, come Holy Spirit, and allow our hearts to be gripped by the lost condition of people. Amen? You can say amen here, I think, right? All right, cool. All right, let's move on to the next one, pray. Pray is another habit that we do in our training. By the way, these habits, I've been training people for a number of years in these habits, and these are universal. If we were in Africa right now with the team, these seven habits would be the exact same. If we go to India, these seven habits would be the exact same. If we go to Southeast Asia, these habits would all be the same. These are universal, and they're established by the disciple-making movements as the habits that are across the board. The only problem is that movements are happening every place except for North America and Europe. And Aaron and I are trying to do something about that, okay? Pushing the envelope for that to happen. All right, let's move on to pray, okay? Now, there's a basic assumption here. Of course, my one of my hockey coaches used to tell me, you never assume what the other person is going to do because it makes a blank out of you and me, right? Okay, that's what assuming does. All right, I didn't want to get vulgar in this company here. I can do that up in Tomahawk and get away with it. But anyway, all right, but there's a basic assumption that each of us here have some type of prayer life. You know, and so in the training, what we do, we encourage people to add a little bit of extra to your prayer life. And Aaron, when he presented his four P's, he said, prayerfully consider for whom Jesus is stoking, I love this, stoking compassion in your heart to reach out to. And so prayerfully picking, you know, what group of people you want to reach out to. Like family or neighborhood, coworkers, affinity groups, ethnic groups, and that sort of thing. So I brought along with me one of the people who I trained. And the reason why I brought these gals with me is these gals are doing it. All right. I can sit up here and I can, you know, preach until I'm blue in the face and be theoretical about these various practices. But these guys are actually doing it, which hands off, you know, hats off to these guys. So I want to welcome Holly up here, and she's going to share a bit about just practical ideas about the extra in the prayer, okay?
Sure. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you got to say it right? Oh, yeah, got to come over by me. Is she on?
Okay. One of the things that I learned through the training is earlier in my Christian training, it was always this thing like you tell somebody I'm going to pray for you, and then you go home and you pray for them, right? At night you get out your little list and you go through and you pray for them. This is where I learned to, if I see somebody who needs prayer, pray for them on the spot. Prayer is important, I think, because it gives us the eyes to see people the way Jesus sees them. So I think that's probably where I've grown the most through this training is in my prayer life. Just thinking about who needs prayer, and having that prayer with God, having him speak to me and show me, like highlight people to me to reach out to for this discovery group process. And, it's just really been eye-opening for me.
Yeah. And Holly, why don't you share, I had a particular format in which I presented to you guys for, you know, the number of people that we wanted you guys to engage in prayer on a regular basis. And you looked at that chart of mine and just said, I can do a better job with that. And I'm going, praise the Lord, someone is going to do something better than I can do. Yeah.
I didn't really think I could do a better job. I just, it didn't make sense to me because I know, you know, people think differently about things and see things differently. So I kind of came up with my own format. And what it involves is, well, I have my daily prayer list, you know, people close to me that I want to pray for every day that I know need prayer. But then on the other side, each day I picked a group of people that I don't necessarily have contact with on a daily basis, but that I believe I should be praying for, like government leaders, our schools, you know, all the people in the schools, people in my community, coworkers, and then a spot for whoever's God highlights me, for me at church. So I just kind of expanded it from a daily list to include larger groups of people. So hopefully that'll have some impact.
Yeah, and that what's cool about this is how Heidi reformatted this to fit her style is that she very simply is adding the extra to her prayer life. And so in the training, we're always pushing the envelope for people to hone these habits in a better way. And so Holly, in a very practical way, did that with her prayer sheet. So anything else you want to say about prayer?
Yes. Also, another thing that Ross introduced to us was this awesome app on your phone. It's called Bless Every Home. And what you do is you go in there and you put in your home address, and it gives you a list of people in your neighborhood to pray for. So I have like 40 people in my neighborhood. And each day it gives me like 6 people, 8 people, whatever the number is, to pray for every day. And it even gives you a prayer to pray if you don't, you know, if you don't have the words, it gives you words to pray for them. It tells you their addresses, you know, so I guess on my list is to maybe someday go to them and like just introduce myself and let them know that I'm praying for them. Mm-hmm. So, but it keeps track of everybody that uses the app, so you can see the number of prayers that are being prayed. And it's just, I really like it.
Yeah.
It's a good reminder every day.
Yeah. And I use that too. Mine flashes up on my computer, on my email. Hers is on her phone, which is really, really cool. It's a very simple app to use. And along with the prayers for the people, they encourage you to care, you know, do a compassion ministry, care for them, share the gospel eventually with them, and then disciple them. So it goes prayer, care, share, and then disciple. So it's a really cool app, and it flows right with the disciple-making movement principles. So, hey, thanks, Holly. Give Holly a hand. She did a great job. All right, yeah, and like Holly said, prayer softens one's heart towards those who we are praying for. And it's just another way in which Jesus uses to capture our hearts for lost people. Now, the engage, we'll go down to the engage part. That's where it's shaking people's hands there in that icon. And Aaron, in his 4 P's, he talked about plan an access ministry or a compassion ministry to engage people in meaningful ways. Now, when we do the training, we recommend people engaging people in 3 different ways. One of the ways is what was just mentioned, is you focus on poor people, less fortunate people, and you do a compassionate ministry with them. Could be a service project, whatever. The second thing that we do in the training is we teach people how to give a very personal testimony, a personal God story. And it's really simple. You go to Acts chapter 22, and Paul gives the layout there. What was your life like before you met Christ? How you met Christ? And what was your life after you met Christ? And so we train people how to give just their short God story to people. And then the final thing, the third thing, is we train people how to do power encounters. We call them power encounters. And Holly over here was sharing, when we see a person in need, like in the grocery store, you know, and the Lord says, hey, go up and pray for that person. And so you engage that person, and you can say, I do this with elderly people all the time. I can see that you're sad today. You know, is there something that's burdening your heart? And they'll say, hey, I just lost my husband, and I'm here to get empty boxes to pack some things up. Bingo. And the next thing you just say, hey, could I pray for you? Would you mind if I just pray for you right now? And of course, they're crying by now. And then you just, you know, say, yeah, I just do a short prayer with them. And so that's a connection. That's where you do a power encounter with a person, or if a person's sick. You know, you recognize that and you pray for healing for them. So those are different ways in which we train people to engage people and to be really, really intentional. If you're going to put a word next to that word engage there on your little chart, put the word intentional in capital letters, because you have to be intentional about this. And so, you know, you have lenses to see people the way Jesus sees people. And then you engage them in ways that are very practical. Okay, Jennifer, come on up. And she's going to share regarding engaging people in the workplace and developing relational equity in the workplace. And actually, what's really cool, and she'll probably be sharing this, is that Holly and her co-led a discovery group through your co-workers. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is that she had three people in this discovery group, and all three people came to Christ as a result of discovering Jesus through the Bible studies. Isn't that cool?
Very cool.
Yeah. Okay, Jennifer, share with us about engaging people.
I work at a place where there are a lot of people, and I never push my Christianity on anybody. If we had a special service at church, like Christmas, I would put the little postcard on the bulletin board, you know, inviting anybody who wanted to come. Well, it turned out that we had an annual board meeting where we invite, you know, the community if they want to come, and the board is there. And before the meeting, the president of the bank asked me if I would start the meeting with a prayer. And I thought, wow, that's cool. And I said, I'd be honored. So I said a prayer. And then I was just kind of shocked. And I don't really like to talk in front of people. But I, God gave me the words, and I said his prayer. Well, then people knew that I was a Christian. And people just... when they needed things, they would come to me. There was one of my friends, her grandson fell out of a tree and crushed his skull. And the first thing she thought of was she needed prayer. So
yeah,
she came and I helped her, and we prayed. And it just kind of snowballed there. Then one guy that worked there said, you know, we want to know more about this Jesus. So
they flat out just came to you and said that, right?
Yeah, they just came and they said, hey, we, you know, we were talking about this at lunch, and we want to know what it is. So at our church, we do these small groups. So they've been going on for a long time, and we have these sign up sheets in the back where you can sign up to do a small group, or, you know, be in one. And I didn't know what to do, because I thought, well, these people aren't Christians. I don't know if they would go for this small group thing. So I went to the pastor and I asked, I said, I have some people that want to know Jesus, but they're not coming to church. They're not going to come here and sign up on these sheets, because they aren't here. You know, they're not Christians. And I said, I don't know what to do. Could I have a small group just for these people? And she said, yeah, you know, she thought that would be great. Well, then in the meantime, Ross heard about it, and he said, hey, can I come to your work and talk to you about something? So he came in where I work and told me about this disciple making movement and
the discovery process
to how to lead people right from the birth of Jesus on. And I learned from him how to do this, and we had this group at one of the ladies' house. She said, I would love to have the people over. So we always had a meal, and then the first lesson was like Matthew 1 versus the birth of Jesus, like 8 to 15 or
18 through 25.
Yeah, 18 through 25. And first of all, I said, does everybody have a Bible? Well, and the one lady said, well, my son got one when he was confirmed, so I'm going to use that one. And then one guy said, because I'll buy anybody a Bible that doesn't have one. And the guy said, I want to pick out my own. So I said, okay. And then the other lady did have one. So then we met, and you know, I gave them, before we met the first time, I gave them the lesson to please come and have read about the birth of Jesus. And the one lady, she came to me the next day at work and she said, you know what? She goes, I got my son's confirmation Bible and I was looking, and she thought she had to read all the chapters from, first of all, she couldn't even find Matthew, but then when she did, she thought she had to read all the chapters from 8 to, or what was it?
Chapter 1 through chapter 18.
Yeah, all of those. And she just said, she said, I'm out. This is way too much. I'm not doing this. But she, before she did that, she was telling her husband, and her husband said, I don't think that's what that is. This is what it is. So then she's like, oh, well, I can read those few verses. So then she stayed in the group. So we met that first night, and she was telling us this, and she said, man, I was just like, I'm out. But she said, luckily, my husband told me that what to do. Then the kid that needed the Bible, he says, man, I went to Barnes & Noble, and I had no idea how many choices I was going to have. He said, I didn't even know which Bible to pick. So he said, I just picked this one with the black cover, and it's got, like, leaves stamped on it. Isn't it cool? So everybody said, yeah, that's really nice. And then the next lady said, well, you know, I have my Bible, but, you know, it really doesn't matter what Bible you pick because it's just a bunch of guys that wrote it. And I said, you know, you don't really want to, you learn in the training that you don't want to be like the answer person, like you want them to do all the discussing. But I thought, I can't let that go. And I said, well, God used men to write the Bible, but it's his word. So be clear, it's not those guys' word, it's God's word, and he used them to put the pen to the paper. So then we got through that. So we got through the whole, we went all the way through the birth, you know, to Jesus' resurrection. And then at the end, I said, how many people, you know, do you accept Christ? And everybody raised their hand. So that's how it kind of worked. But it all started just because of my relationships with people at the bank. And the biggest thing I learned in Ross's class was that you have to be intentional. And that is true, because I learned that you, just like Holly, you got to go out and pray for people right where they're at. I was in the McDonald's drive-thru one morning. And you don't have to try to find these people. God just throws them out. They're going to be there. And I was there, and the lady at the window, her name was Dawn, and I said, hey, how are you doing today? And she said, you know, most people just say fine, right, whether you are or not. She said, I'm not very good. She said, I have this lump on my shoulder, and I don't know what it is, and it's a growth, and I have to go to the doctor, and I'm really scared about it. So right in the McDonald's drive-up, I'm like, intentional, and I said, would you like me to pray for you? And she said, would you? Absolutely. So we prayed right there, And then I came back later, you know, a couple weeks later, because she was gone, and she was fine. It was benign. So praise the Lord. But mm-hmm. she also learned that prayer works. So that was cool.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Cool. Give Jennifer a hand. That was good. And one of the things that Jennifer shared is a segue actually into the fourth point here, and that is finding a person of peace. And this is something that most people gloss over. If you want the scriptural reference for the person of peace, it's Matthew 10 and Luke 10. So it's really easy to remember that. But in those passages there, Jesus, when he sent out people, he says specifically look for that person of peace, because that person of peace is going to know a boatload of people. They're going to have networks there that they're willing to automatically share about their spiritual journey. Now, Jennifer, she mentioned at her work that she had a guy approach her and said, hey, I want to know about this Jesus guy. Ding, 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 ding. Person of peace. They're hungry. They're hungry to know about Jesus. Now, does that happen all the time? Absolutely not. Okay, because you're going to have to do some searching around in terms of finding these people of peace, in terms of the groups of people that you are connecting with. Okay, so in front of you, you should have a handout there, and there should be an acronym, I think that's what they call them, called HORSE. Okay. Okay, and it gives you the indicators of a person of peace. Okay, first of all, they're hungry spiritually, just like Jeff at her work came up and just flat out asked her, say, hey, could you tell me about this Jesus dude? And the Holy Spirit does a number of different ways to create hunger in people. It can be events that happen in their life. I call the four D's, if I can remember them all. A divorce, death, debt, and depression are the four D's. If you find people in those four D's, more than likely they will be open to hear what you have to say about Jesus. Okay? So hungry spiritually. They're open relationally to you. They're open to you and to hear a bit about your story, or they've already seen some of your story, like in both of these gals' arenas. By the way, Holly is leading a discovery group at her work right now, and Jennifer will be leading another one at her work in January. Okay. And then they're responsive to discipleship. In other words, you invite them in, and they're open to that. And then share in community. So they have these networks that they're going to invite other people into the discovery process. By the way, once you find a person of peace, that person will do the inviting into your discovery process. You, as a facilitator, don't have to do any of the inviting. Isn't that cool? See, once you find one of these guys, it's or gals, it's like these people will do the inviting. And you let them do it. And by the way, meet at a neutral place. Jennifer mentioned that one of the gals in her group opened up their home. That's a neutral place. Okay, it wasn't at work, it wasn't at church, it wasn't any place else, but it was at a person's house. It was very inviting and that sort of thing. So that's important when you're doing your discovery groups. And then finally, person who is a person of peace will emerge as a leader for discovery groups. Okay. All right. I think that's probably... Oh, no. Excuse me. Aaron, the other P that Aaron had was you need to be trained to ask good questions to a person of peace. Here's three questions that either we have used or I stole from someone else. Okay. This is always a good one. Are you interested to find out God's purpose for your life? So if you run into someone and like Jesus says, the harvest is great. You know, are you interested in finding God's purpose for your life? Or you can leave God out of it. It's, hey, do you want to find what it means to lead a meaningful life? Let me just tell you something. We live in a very shallow culture, don't we? And people are living in meaninglessness all over the place. And so when you're talking about, hey, I can show you how to have a meaningful life, bingo, that will pique their interest. Okay, another question is, are you interested in finding out a healthy way of dealing with loss in your life? Everyone in this room has dealt with loss in some way, okay, in some manner. And so Jennifer is going to be doing a specific discovery group on how to deal with grieving, okay? And so we you know, that's what she's going to do with her group. And then a third question could be, are you interested in finding out how to mend a broken heart? How to mend a broken heart, okay? And there's all sorts of scriptures about that. And so you can pick out 6 or 7 scriptures about, you know, mending a broken heart. And you can lead a discovery group with that. And so those are just some questions that you might want to ask a person of peace, which piques their interest, which gets them, the Holy Spirit can bug them through those questions and say, eventually they'll come back to you and say, yeah, I want to know about that. When can we start? And what you do is say, can you invite 3 other people that have the same situation as you into the group? And they'll go, oh, yeah, I know, you know, a bunch of them. And, you know, and then they do the inviting. So, okay, I talked enough. I think I'm over. Okay, all right. So, just to pique your interest about next week, I'm going to share with you the engine that drives this. The engine that drives this. And I'm going to have the girls share with me what that is. So if you come back next week, you're going to find out about that. But we have a little cliche that says, if you can read it, you can lead it. Why don't you guys say that? If you can read it, you can lead it. Is there anyone here who can't read English? Food for thought, you know. Okay, jump into writing your I will statements, your discussion, and your I will statements at your table. Amen. So.